just change for change's sake is not helpful. We've certainly seen much change, and I don't consider our country the better for it. I'd like to look at the 24th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. There's a warning here that you don't meddle with those that are inclined to change. Those that are of a mindset and an inclination. It seems like there is a mindset in our world today that anything goes except for what maybe your parents thought. Except for what, that's last generation. We're beyond that today. We've progressed beyond that. So it's not acceptable to think in a style that was maybe last century. Or that was of another generation that's already passed. But there are some ideas being thrown out that are way out there. Ideas that you think, how could you get to that level? How could you be so confused in your mind to not be able to understand some of these most simple things? And yet it's considered progress. Today it's considered something that's of benefit and of such virtue to be able to bring about change. You know, it's not only in our nation, it's not only in our world, but the enemy wants to creep that in among the church. I remember one time I had a conversation with a group of men, and they were discussing marriage and some conflict and some problems that were going on and looking for some counsel. It was just a discussion that we were having together, and remember, felt like the Lord gave a little thought or maybe a little insight that was really a pretty simple answer. It was, you know, humility would go a long ways in this. Just being willing to humble yourself and take the humble route would go a long ways. And I remember at the time being a little surprised by the response. Oh, no, we know that. No, that's not good enough. We're looking for something beyond that. We're looking for something more advanced than that. That's what we've heard for years. Meddle not with those that are given to change. If it ain't broke, if you'll excuse the expression, don't fix it. You know, the Church of God's, the design and the pattern of it is not broken. The Word of God is not broken. It's not deficient. It doesn't have surplus in it that needs to be modified or taken away from. So be careful. The warning to us, I believe, in the Scripture here, be careful with those that are inclined to change. Be careful with those that aren't content and satisfied with the old paths, with the old simple gospel message, that want to change a little bit here and modify a little and add a little bit here and make it more maybe relevant or palatable to a new generation. Be careful of that. Meddle not with them that are given to change. I'd like to look at an account in the book of 1 Kings. I believe we looked at this not too long ago here. But I'd like to read a few verses of Rehoboam. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. And Rehoboam came to Shechem, and all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart ye for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he asked them the same question, and the young men that were grown up with him said it completely different. They said a different direction. They gave counsel that was completely contrary to what the counsel of the old men was. You know, we live in a time that people want the answer that they want to hear. They want to accept what is pleasing to me. I put a criteria or a filter on it. If I want to hear that, I'll accept it. But if I don't want to hear it, I'm going to reject it. And the Scripture talks about, in the last days, those that would have itching ears. Those that would have ears that I want to hear that which is pleasing to me. I already have a criteria. You know, it's a dangerous thing to go to the Word of the Lord with a preset criteria or a preset idea. I'm going to go and prove that it's all right. I'm going to go and prove that the direction and the thing I'm doing is okay. I'm going to go and find some scriptures that show that the old paths are no longer relevant or they're no longer needed or that there is another way to be able to get to heaven. I'm going to be able to go and show that. You know, chances are you'll be able to. Chances are by giving yourself to change. The enemy is so willing to accommodate that. Ahab and Jehoshaphat, the story, the account was whenever he wanted to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. Remember that? They believe it was Jehoshaphat said, can we ask of someone here if this is the mind of the Lord? And there were 400 prophets. They were all saying in consensus together, it's all right. Go ahead and go out and do it. It's okay to do it. It's all right. He knew what the king wanted to do. Already knew what was in the king's heart. And they even Milkiah warned the man of God. He was warned as he went forth. Now don't say anything contrary. We're going to give you a warning here that this is what everyone else is saying to the king. Do you think we hear that in our world today? Be careful now. Oh, be careful what you preach. Be careful what you teach. You know that doctrine's not popular. You know this thing of double marriage and of one man, one woman for life, that's not popular. You know there are going to be people that aren't willing to accept that. So be careful and let's see if we can work around that. Sin you must and live in a holy life. That gets a little too close now. Be careful. You've got to be able to reach a younger generation. Meddle not with those that are given to change. For the Lord said, I am the Lord, and I change not. His ways and His principles and His doctrines are unchanging. May the Lord help us that we would be content to accept the counsel. As we heard this morning of the counsel of the Lord, to hearken to it. I was struck and challenged by the thought this morning that we can go through life, that I can hear the voice of the Lord in my own life. When the Lord deals with me on a certain line in a certain area of my life and shows me a place that I need to make some changes in my life, if I'm not careful, I can think in my mind, I'll take care of that. At another time, at a convenient season, or I've got an intention here that I want to change that. And go right on, and I never make that change. And then I want to come to the Lord and say, Lord, what new do you have for me? Lord, what else do you have for me? And the Lord's saying all the time, I already gave it to you. I already gave you the answer. I already gave you what you need to do. You go and go back to the place and do the thing that you know to do. Was it the church at Ephesus that had lost their first love? You know the thing for them to do was to go back where they left it? It's to go back to where they lost it and pick it up from there and carry on. But if we're not careful, we'll pick and choose what we want to hear and receive from the mouth of the Lord. I'd like to look at a familiar passage in James. I'd like to shift direction a little bit now in considering change. I believe that we'd all agree and understand and hopefully recognize that the enemy is trying to bring change where change is not needed. You know, the enemy is not the only one that wants to bring change. Change isn't always bad. It's kind of like we hear today. You need to be open-minded. Being open-minded is not a bad thing. But the question is, what am I open-minded to? What am I open to? Am I open-minded to whatever the world has, or am I open-minded to what the Lord has? The question of change is not, the danger is not in change itself, but what is the change? What if, who is behind the change that's happening in my life? The thing that I'm beginning to move and make some direction change in my life. Who's behind that? But I believe the Lord also is interested in us making changes in our life. James 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, really, if we're honest, that's pretty close to human nature. That's pretty easy for any of us to do, to hear the word of the Lord. And many of us have the opportunity from week to week to sit under messages. We all have access to the word of the Lord. It can be easy for me to get into a place that, as I've expressed before, that I get saturated. That I get to a point that I'm so saturated that the water comes and it just rolls off. Do you know why the ground gets saturated? Because the ground hasn't received the water that it already got. And if I get into a place in my life that the last thing the Lord talked to me about, I still haven't dealt with that in my life. I still haven't assimilated the last thing the Lord talked to me about. The thing the Lord dealt with me about last year. I still haven't made a change in my life. I've thought about it. I've wanted to do it. I've had every intention maybe of taking care of it. But I never make a change. You know, the Lord doesn't just deal with us for us to just have the entertainment of hearing His voice. But the Lord deals with us for a reason. Hebrews, I believe it is, the 12th chapter, talks about the chastening of the Lord. And it says, "For ye have forgotten the exhortation, the 5th verse, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" No, 11th verse, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, whenever I discipline my children, it's not just with the intention, and it should never be with the motivation that I'm just frustrated and I'm just trying to react. And the Lord's had to help me as a father and as a parent, knowing how to deal with young children. But I don't want it to be in a place that it's just for sound's sake. I just correct you, but the desire behind it is, I want to see a change. I want to see some change begin to develop in you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to see you begin to start developing into the things of the Lord, to begin developing some character. And I'm seeing a flaw here that's going to cause you trouble. Discipline and chastening is never for the joy of the parent. And the Scripture here is saying, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. So don't you believe this afternoon it's for the same reason? The Lord wants us to make a change. Whenever the Lord chastens us, it's to come along and say, I want to show you this in your life. I want you to be able to realize there's something here that's not conformed to my image. There's something here that you need to take care of. But the danger is that I see it and I hear it. And I keep going on. I keep going on without ever really making the change that I need to make. And the Scripture says here, that the man that does that deceives his own self. The man that does that, and I make that a pattern of my life, that I never really make the changes in my life that I need to make, I'll get into a place that I begin to deceive myself. I'll get into a place that I'm not able to clearly see and hear the voice of the Lord. Be more than a hearer, but a doer. And allow the Lord to make changes in our lives that He sees are needed. I'd like to talk with us for a little bit, if you'll bear with me, about Newton's first law of motion. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Newton's first law says, in essence, that an object at rest will stay at rest, and an object in motion will stay in motion unless acted upon by a net positive external force. So in other words, if there's something that's sitting here, it's not going to move unless there's a force greater than the force of gravity, greater than the friction that's holding it there, unless something greater than that moves upon it. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to change. It's going to be at rest. It's going to require something, a force, to get in there and to make the motion to move it. Likewise, a thing that's in motion, we're familiar or maybe can understand the illustration of a freight train. It takes, what is, a mile or something like that for a freight train to stop. For it to be able, because of the momentum that it has, it requires so much to be able to stop that. Because it's moving in a direction and it requires a force greater than the momentum that it has to be able to stop it. That's why in outer space, with the absence of friction and gravity and all those things, an object that is launched in outer space can just go and go and go and go. Without slowing down, there's nothing to hinder or stop it. You know, those of us that are traveling on for the Lord, we're going to have to recognize there are some forces at work. There are some forces that want to try to drag us down. There is some discouragement. There are some things that the enemy is going to put in our way that are designed for nothing else but to try to stop me. Designed to try to stop me and turn me around and hinder me from making progress. So I'm going to have a force that's greater within me than those forces that are trying to slow me down, to enable me to keep going in that course. But you know, it's for the same reason, the same principle. It is so hard to change. It is so hard. Use the example of learning a language. You take a young child and a child that's malleable, that's their mind is fresh. You can take and you can train them easier to learn a new language. The older we get, the harder it is for us to get out of that and to learn something new. Change even in everyday life is difficult for us. I know at work, there are many times changes that are introduced in processes and change in the computer programs that we use and change in the phone system that we use. And now we have voicemail and tomorrow we're going to try not having voicemail. You know, those things can become a trial to me. I don't like change unless change is needed. It seemed like it was working, and now I got to figure out what to do today. I knew where that button was yesterday in the program. Now you introduce a change, and I got to go figure out what to do differently now. But I don't like change. I like to be able to just keep going in my life the way that I'm going. The things that work for me, the things that I'm accustomed to, the things that I'm comfortable with. I want to just surround myself with that and never see any disruption to any of that. I don't like it when my children come and get my phone charger and take it somewhere else in the house and I go to plug the phone in and there's a change now. I don't want change in that area of my life, in that place. Change is difficult for us. You know, every bit as much so or more, when the Lord comes along and says, I want you to make a change, it's not easy. And I'll say many, many people never really change. Many people go throughout their lives never really willing or able to come to the place that they're able and willing to deal with the level that the Lord wants to deal with them on. And so maybe they'll deal with a little bit of a surface symptoms in their life. Maybe they'll try to kind of just work through things enough to keep going. But the Lord is saying, I want to make a change here. I've talked to you. You ever have the Lord talk to you about the same thing more than once? Lord come along and say, don't you remember I talked to you about that before? And I have to say, Lord, I didn't really do anything differently. I didn't really allow you to make a change. I recognized the need, but I never really changed the course that I was on. Not even talking necessarily about sinful things in lives. Talking about those places in our lives as saints of God that the Lord would come along and say, I want to change something about you. It's not easy. And it's not going to just happen. We heard this morning, it's not just easy. Salvation and living for the Lord is going to require some work. It's going to require some diligence in giving myself to this thing. Ruts. Ruts are so easy to fall into by what I'm accustomed to. By what I am ingrained in and the way that I think and the way that I go. If I've driven to work the same way a number of times, you put a bridge out sign ahead and chances are I'm going to keep going the same way. Until I can't, because I'm accustomed to it. We're creatures of habit. We get into a pattern and a custom and we're just used to going the same way and doing the same thing. We can have ways about us. We can have things of our personality and the way that I respond to things and the way that I look at things that are so close to me. I'm so accustomed to it. I've had years that I'm used to this. That's going to be difficult to change. It's going to require a force greater than the force that's acting on that still object to come in and move that thing in my life. I'm thankful the Lord has that power. Scripture says in the book of Jeremiah, the 13th chapter, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or a leopard change his spots? Neither can ye that are accustomed to doing evil change your ways. It requires more than just a New Year's resolution. How many people start out on January 1st? Boy, I'm going to make a change this year. I'm so full of food and junk food I've been eating that I say, oh, this is easy. I'm making a change in my diet. I'm not going to eat any of those sweets anymore. I'm done this year. It lasts for a little while, but resolutions are so weak. It's going to require something more than really what I have on hand. It's going to require more than just willpower or intentions. Lord, I need you by your grace to get in here and do a work in my life that can actually change the course of it. And I'm going to have to be willing to work at it. I'm going to have to be willing to get in there and put some effort for it. Yes, the Lord is able to make a change in our lives. Salvation is not an evolutionary process. I don't evolve into a Christian over time. The Lord comes in by the power of His blood and He makes us a new creature. The Lord changes our nature. He changes that sinful man and He cleanses it and washes it. And He deals with our desires. He deals with our heart. He deals with our mind. And He can change who we are. I thank the Lord for it. Let him that, what was it Paul said? Let him that stole, steal no more. There's something that you're going to have to make a change. And the Lord can change that sinful way of a life. You know, there are some things that just the reality of it. There are things in my life and in lives of others all around us, no doubt all of us. There are things that the Lord works all our lifetime to bring us to a place to even understand my own ways, to even see myself, the Lord so tenderly and patiently working with me, trying to enable and allow me to see the place that He's wanting to change. Children's song said, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the sun and the stars and heaven and earth, Jupiter or Mars, something like that. But He's still working on me. May we give the Lord the place and we can allow Him to make those changes in our lives. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Beautiful passage. 2 Corinthians 3, talking about the glory of the Lord and how it can be ours. It doesn't belong to a mountain or an earthly tabernacle anymore, but it belongs to us. We don't have to look through a veil anymore to behold the glory of the Lord as they did when they looked on Moses. We can have the veil removed, the veil of the flesh and of carnality, the blinds, the spiritual eyes. We can have that removed from our eyes. Be able to see for ourselves in our everyday lives the glory of the Lord manifested and revealed. But you know, the glory of the Lord is more than just a quaking and a trembling and a, it's more than a fireworks show. It's more than something to just stand back and say, oh, wow. But the glory of the Lord, as I want to read here in the 18th verse, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now I'm in a place with a privilege that I can behold the Lord for myself. No more shall you say, as the prophet said, every man to his brother, know the Lord. Or let me tell you about the Lord. Let me describe the Lord to you. But you shall all know me. You shall all see me from the least to the greatest. You can behold the glory of the Lord. And I can behold the glory of the Lord in our own lives. Philip asked Jesus once, Jesus, just show us the Father. Just let us see the Father and it'll suffice us. And he said, Philip, have you been so long with me and you haven't seen the Father? I've shown you the Father. I've manifested the Father to you. You've seen Him through me, through my words and through my actions. The Lord hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's revealed Himself to us by His Son and through His Word, that we can have an understanding and a revelation from the Lord for myself of truth, of what the Lord requires for me, the truth that I'm going to stand and give an account to Him for. I can have an understanding for myself. Thank the Lord for it. We can all behold the glory of the Lord. But you know that glory will accomplish something. That glory, again, is more than just a show. It's more than just a spectacular thing to stand back and behold. But as we, as in a glass, behold the glory of the Lord, it says we are changed. We are changed into the same image. Is that your desire this afternoon? Is that our prayer? Lord, change me into Your image. Lord, whatever it takes in my life, work with me through the trials of my life. Lord, show me whatever that I need to measure up on in my life. I want to be changed. I want to be changeable. I don't want to be in a place that I'm so stuck in my own ways, that I'm so determined my own ways are right, that the Lord is not able to change me. Sometimes people will come to an altar or prayer or ask for counsel on this line or that line. I need more grace. I need more power. I need more understanding. I need more of this. I need more of that. You know what's in the Lord? It's in the Lord. He has an abundant storehouse full of all that we need. James said of wisdom, does any man lack wisdom? Do you have a need? Is there a lack in your life? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, not stingily, but liberally, whatever you need. I've got it. I've got it to offer. I've got it to make available to you. You know what we need is more of the Lord. Sometimes I want some kind of special answer or magic formula or something that I've never thought of before, that, oh, that's the trick. That's the answer. That's what's going to make it easy for me. But many times it's the things that I already know to do. The Lord has an abundant storehouse for us. So when I lack wisdom, whenever I'm struggling having enough love for my brother, Lord, help me to get more of You. More of Your Spirit in my life. I want to look upon and behold Your glory. I can't do it in myself. I'm not able to just go through life on my own and have, as we heard in the Sunday school, the grace to be able to respond to someone that's full of carnality and bitterness and hatred in a meek and a mild and a loving way. I don't have it. I've got to be able to be in a place that I behold the glory of the Lord. I have to be able to have a secret place alone with the Lord that I can get with Him and I can behold His glory, that I can get with the Lord. What was it as some of the disciples that they looked upon them and they heard them speak and they took note and they marveled because they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they also took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. There was something about, you're one of His. You've been with Jesus. May that be the testimony or the accusation of every one of us. You've been with Jesus. And it'll show. Whenever I behold the glory of the Lord in my own life, in my own devotions, throughout my life, day to day, living in a place that it's not clouded. The song says, nothing between me and my Savior. That I can be in a place that there's not a veil that I'm looking through darkly. And I can kind of make out the Lord. I think He's over there somewhere. But that I can clearly see the Lord. And I know we walk by faith and not by sight. I understand that there are times that the enemy will try to get in and crowd out our faith and our understanding. And we grasp it by faith. But you know, there's a place even so much greater than a time whenever God would speak out of heaven to a burning bush. There's a time that's even greater than when Elijah saw the earthquake and the wind and all of that, and he heard the voice. I can hear a voice within me. We can behold the glory of the Lord in our own lives. Glory of the Lord that's greater than some outward show that causes us to run around the church or to jump and shout and have praise and worship services maybe that are full of emotion and commotion and everything else, and then go home to a life that's less than what God has. But the glory of the Lord, as I behold His glory, as I allow that to work in my life, folks, we will be changed. The Lord's desire is not to just have a casual encounter with us, but it is to come in and dwell in His glory in my life and in your life and have the permission to work in our life wherever He sees fit to work. So that, Lord, maybe it takes a while. Sometimes I feel like I'm slow to learn. But Lord, I want to be able to look back. The song says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears. You know, I believe in a God that's able to work in our lives, that I don't have to just go in circles year after year after year after year. But I believe that He has the grace and the power to change me. To change those things about me that keep me in the rut, that keep me held down, that keep me from going on and being what the Lord really wants me to be in my life. It's going to require a change. It's going to require me putting the effort in to seek the face of the Lord, to be willing to empty out, to be willing to die out. Be in a place that we behold the glory of the Lord, to be changed into His same image. From glory to glory. Scripture speaks about a belief from faith to faith. We go from one experience to the next, one day to the next. Sometimes we just desire the Lord. Lord, I need more patience, love, meekness. Here's my wish list. Lord, would You dump it on me? Lord, would You just open the windows of heaven and I've got everything that I need now? You know, the Lord's going to give it to us. But I'm going to have to be willing to follow after Him day by day, and He'll reveal those things to us through that coworker or that neighbor that comes and rails against us. And He's saying, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to learn to feel what I have felt, to be able to exercise yourself. But it's going to require effort. Lord, I want to change this in my life. They say of habits, and I believe living for the Lord is more than habits, but I believe there are some good disciplines that we can instill in our lives. We are such creatures of habit that in order to change a habit in our lives, you've got to do it, I don't remember the length of time, months on end, consistently every day to change a habit. To make it where it's not just the automatic thing that I do, the automatic thing that I'm inclined to do. It may take a while to change a habit in your life. Whatever, just from a natural sense of habits that we are accustomed to. That same difficulty to make changes in our lives, the Lord has to work with as well. The Lord has to try to work through as He's endeavoring to bring us into the same image, for that to be manifested and shown forth to a world around us. May the Lord help us to allow Him to make changes in our lives. It's hard. Not all change we want to give ourselves to, but if it's the Lord making the change, I want to be open to it. I want to be in a place that I can allow the Lord to go deeper than the surface, to go deeper than just saying, Lord, that was a good message. You know, that was so true. That was so good. And it can be so easy to go back home and maybe even with every good intention, but I've not really stopped and really put it into practice, really made a change in my life, really implemented it from day to day in our lives. The Lord can bring us to a place to change us so that I can look back and see far down the mountain. Lord, I have made some progress. I have, by Your grace, I can see where I've grown in this area. It is the work of salvation through His Spirit that He's able to work in our lives. You pray for me. Amen.